Do you know what's hiding behind the colorful packaging of unhealthy food? Big food companies target children with unhealthy packaged foods that hide high levels of sugar, salt, and fat, which could lead to heart disease, diabetes, and hypertension. But the truth is hidden from consumers. Front-of-package warning labels are a proven solution to help consumers make informed decisions. The government must act now. We have the right to know what's in our food. Demand front-of-package warning labels. Sign the petition on HEALA.org, HEALA.org, by the 30th of September.
You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as it's a Wednesday, I speak to Skulk Lowe. Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. There was something that happened yesterday which interested me, and it said across the news wires that the NASDAQ is down because of people saying that the AI boom is overdone. That was the sort of inference. They didn't say it in those words, but they said they're questioning the development of AI. Had to happen, didn't it, Skulk?
Yeah, it had. And firstly, you know, hello, Lindsay, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, David Shapiro and myself, we had a conversation today. See, I'm doing a bit of name dropping there. we were jointly in an interview, and they asked him on a company. Let me quickly see what's the company again called. It was Palantir.
Palantir. Yeah, they got whacked Palantir yesterday. Yeah, 7-8%, yeah. I think, and today again down 2 or 3. I also think.
Correct. It's correct. I mean, I don't know the company really. It made me went and look because naturally this is much more a David type of company. He loves these tech companies, these AI companies.
Yes, and
Now, firstly, I mean, this drop that you just mentioned, I mean, this wiped out $75 billion in pretty much 5 days. So now it had me interested. I had to go and look. So this company, I mean, do you know the company, just by the way?
I know it. I know it's high profile. I know people sort of revere it. There's somebody on LinkedIn. I work for Palantir, and, you know, very, very glossy. The way I can sort of describe it is a glossy company.
It is. But the moment I start reading that, Back to the Future. It felt going back to 2000. And you and I had this exact conversation exactly a week ago where we talked about, I mean, I get this 2000 bubble feeling. I mean, I just get this feeling. Oh, and yeah, as I read this company is it builds software for big analytics, and most specifically, it builds it for AI, and it's integrating all these data sets. But it's a high profile software company, specifically for AI. Now this company is trading at, wait for it, a PE ratio of 250 times.
Here we go. The clock has automatically gone back in my head.
Exactly. Because, I mean, and for the listeners that don't want to, you know, now go pull up last week's interview, I mean, Lindsay and myself, all that I said is I feel 2000, because why 2000? 2000, we went into 2000. There was a thing called the internet, and the analyst and economist and every person, even the secretaries, mentioned that the internet is going to take over the world.
Which it has.
Yeah. You're not going to go stand in a banking queue anymore. You're not going to book a flight ticket going to the flight center or whatever. You can actually do it on the internet. And this disruptor is going to see, I mean, these companies, the likes of the Microsofts and, you know, the Ciscos, because the Ciscos, they 2000 to 2002, and not just 2002, and way beyond, we know what the effect was of the internet. But the share prices, Microsoft, on that stage, the largest company in the world, dropped by 51%. General Electric, or actually Cisco Systems, the second largest company in the world, connecting these, it dropped 76%. And General Electric, which built the electric boxes for computers for us to use the thing called the internet, dropped 56%. The three largest companies in the S&P 500 at that stage dropped way more than 50%. And that's when I read this Palantir article, Citroen Research is a research company. They just said, they came out, I think it was something that was, I can't remember which it wasn't Bloomberg, but it came out, brought out an article or research report reporting that Palantir can't be trading at 250 times PE. I mean, it just can't. They feel that the share price has got a fair value of 40 rand a share. Now, just after yesterday's drop, it's still trading around about the $158 level. So, I mean, and so there goes the
yeah, you see, it's very sad that I can only name drop the name that you've already name dropped, namely one David Shapiro. But I had a conversation with him, and I said, David, you can I'll show you a graph of the S&P 500 over the last 50 years, or since inception, since the thing started, which was, I think, in the 1950s, so 75 years, something like that. And I will show you these big drops. See these drops? We see these peaks. That was because of this, and that's because of the overblown markets. I said, we've seen it all before. David is 78 years old. He's seen it all before, and yet he won't get out of his NVIDIA. And I'm not being nasty about David. He's saying, until otherwise advised, I'm going with it, and that's it. And then one day, like the musical chairs analogy that you made last week, the music stops and someone gets messed up, and it's usually the private investor, because the market will fall dramatically. And the problem is that there are far too many things that are pointing towards, as somebody said, a reappraisal of the stock market. And we can go through it. We can go through tariffs, potential stagflation, geopolitics, etc., etc. It goes on. And the market doesn't care. Extraordinary. We'll look back and say, why didn't we short that thing? Why didn't we buy puts when they were so cheap? It's a question of timing, that's all.
It's always hindsight is an absolute perfect science. And there's the listeners out there that are saying that we are now, or, you know, let's not throw you under the bus here. Skog, you are actually up and negative. I mean, these companies are still quality companies. I totally agree. I mean, here we're sitting today, and NVIDIA is the largest company in the world, but I think the second largest is still Microsoft. So, I mean, if David Shapiro, and again, I hate bringing in David because he's not here, we should actually bring him in. But, I mean.
No, it's much better talking behind his back. Go on.
David, if you listen to this, and I know you will, I love you, man. But, David's argument's also 100% true.
Yes.
I mean, he had hypothetically had Microsoft back in 2000, and here we sit in 2025. It's still the second largest company, and it's still going to provide a super return, you know, over a 25-year period. Yes, it struggled for the following 2 years, and yes, it took about, well, I think eight to 10 years to actually just break even again. But that said, it's still super, and it's quality companies, and in most cases will still be in existence when we sit here 25 years from now.
But yes, Microsoft is a stalwart. It'll always be there. It'll go down with the rest of them. But the ones that won't bounce back are the ones that you should be looking at now, and say to yourself, is Palantir going to be there? Is it going to be able to recover after such a big smash? I mean, look at, for example, Dimension Data in the old days. When it listed, there was an off-market print of something like 110 rand a share. Where did it end up, Skark? Where did that...
I recall 2 rand. It was 2 rand or 2 rand 15. It went all the way to 115 rand. I think it was the... On one stage, it was well within the top 10, very close to one of the largest shares on the JSE, and eventually when it delisted was 2 rand a share.
Yeah, and that can happen to other companies. That was an extreme example. But yeah, the market does look as though it's a little bit complacent and it's vulnerable to a shock, and the shock could be stagflation. We exchanged a couple of messages today via WhatsApp, and it's an interesting story, because that's the greatest enemy of the investor is stagflation, and that's after a depression or a really deep recession. Stagflation are horrible. In other words, you've got prices going up and growth going down. So yeah, there's signs of it. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly. But, I mean, I think back to today's news, I mean, stagflation is still, I mean, this is a conversation you and I have had for 3 years, and it feels like we're on this train. I mean, and it's going clackety-clack all the way to stagflation. Nothing has convinced me that we're not going to see it. Nothing. I mean, if you look at the gold price, and that is one of the largest reasons why I'm such a gold bull. I haven't been a gold all my life, but I mean this recent data, or let's call it the past data of the past 3 years, just showing I feel that we're going towards this. Back to where we're sitting today, I mean, we're seeing a quite a big drop, and in international markets, we'll touch on them individually today, but we've seen specifically from the US tech stocks a major drop. So two reasons for that. Yeah, I think you're right. There's sort of a nervousness suddenly about these AI stocks. But also, I mean, we had this conversation exactly a week ago, and then a week before that. So that conversation is interest rates. Interest rates, which actually came out, I think, just after the Fed kept interest rate unchanged, the Fed CME tool, the CME Fed tool, went from a probability around about 60% that we'll see a rate cut at the 17th September, which is the next Fed meeting, and then gradually moved to about 80% beginning of last week. Wednesday, exactly a week ago, just before the PPI numbers came out, it went up to 99.9%. And you and I still had the conversation, are we going to see a 25 basis points or might or we 50. See the big surprise? Mm. Yeah, the 50. Here we're sitting a week later, and suddenly the market is getting seriously nervous if we're going to see any rate cut. That is now only at 85%. When I say only, I'm saying a tongue in the cheek, because most statisticians and mathematicians will wink at me now and say, well, 85%, come on, Skulk, don't be a half empty glass. That's still pretty much done and dusted. Yes, I still believe we're going to see a done and dusted, but suddenly my conversation on maybe a 0.5 would be better than a 0.25. With the probabilities dropping, I don't know.
We'll
see the Fed minutes later.
Yeah, we'll also see the Jackson Hole minutes next time that we speak, because all the central bankers are converging on Jackson Hole, as they do annually, and we'll hear from Jay Powell and see what he's got to say. And I think after that, there'll be much more clarity. Let's have a look at some markets now, Skulk, because they're starting to become interesting. Dollar Rand, fairly much unmoved on the South African inflation jump today. We saw CPI going from 3% to 3.5% annually, and that's quite a big move. But dollar rand waiting for Jackson Hole, 17.70. The euro rand is 20.64, and the British pound against the rand, 23.83, with the euro dollar 116.60. That's a euro up 0.3%. British pound against the US dollar is 134.65. The pound up 0.4%. Commodities. Gold price doing nicely, thank you very much. 33.44, up 0.9%, we'll call it. The platinum price, 1.75% higher at $1,336 an ounce. Palladium flat at 11.12. Now, if we have a look at the oil price, it's had a bit of a jump today. It's messing around the 65 to 67 area for a while now. Brent crude oil, $66.48, up just over 1%. And West Texas crude, $62.40, also just about a percent higher. Okay, other things that are of interest. The South African 10-year bond yield, it has gone up a little bit, but not much, 9.655%. The US 10-year was in the 430s yesterday, 4.28% now. S&P 500, down a percent now, 63.70 on the September futures. Let's have a look at the Bitcoin price, a two-month low at the moment. It was anyway. It's rallied a bit. It's up slightly to just below 114,000, 113,941. Where's the NASDAQ, please, Skulk?
As we sit here, as I mentioned, the NASDAQ is currently down 1.5%. So it's fighting with that 21,000 mark. So interesting. A sharp pullback. I mean, it's really, really a recent sharp pullback in the NASDAQ. So just, watch the space.
Yeah, and watch the VIX as well. Have you been watching the VIX? Mm. Starting to tick up. Yeah, it's starting to tick up, isn't it?
Correct. That's usually a great indicator as well.
Okay, good. What else have we got? Let's have a look at the JSE and the movers on the JSE. We've had, just quickly before we look at today's stuff, we've had results out from the banking sector. And when you look at them, you take the traditional banks and you shunt them aside, and then on the other side you've got Capitec. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? Or has been.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you also pull up a graph over the past 20 years and keep on convincing yourself it was a no-brainer all the time. But yeah, it's just a phenomenal story. It's a phenomenal South African
really
story.
Is.
But yeah, it's been phenomenal.
Hopefully their forays overseas don't scupper that great story, as it has done for certain other companies, which we won't mention. But I'm sure that there won't be any hiccups with Capitec. They're so well managed. I've got Thungela up 4%. I had a horrible time when its results came out, but now a little bit better, up nearly 4%. British American Tobacco up 2 2/3. Investec up just over 2.5%. Northam up 2.4%. Investec Limited up just over 2%. On the downside, the property company MAS, down 6%. Kumba Iron Ore down nearly 5%. South 32 down 2.75%. Life Healthcare 2.75%, weaker after their numbers. And Woolies down 2.5%. Any ex-divs there, Skulk?
No, not that I can see. So this is all market movements.
Okay. In that case, just give me the closing indices on the JSE, if you would.
So the JSE today closed at 101,056 points. It's fighting to keep itself above the 100,000. Luckily, not a big drop in the market, so it's only 0.14%. But as we see the U.S. trading lower and lower, this could be an interesting day for tomorrow. The resource index was down 27 basis points. Industrial index, 15 basis points. And the financial index, that was down only 1 basis point, so it's remained pretty much unchanged. You mentioned the SA property or property, some of the property stocks, which was, I want to mention something clicked when you said property stock, when you talked about companies that are struggling abroad, but be that as it may, property index, that had a phenomenal day today, 0.76 up today. When you look at the value traded in the market was traded 21 billion, so still not a bad day. We haven't seen a, let's call it, a below 20 billion day for any day the past week. So solid trading.
Okay, and next week, if we have the time, I want to you to remind me to talk about why Trump's policies are leaning more towards China than you might think. I mean, not towards China, embracing China, but actually embracing some of China's policies. And I'll tell you why next Wednesday, Skulk. But thank you very much for your time, as always. Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth, Old Oak in Cape Town. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.